Once again, come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is the shepherd that guides us all the way home. Turn with your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We had talked a little bit about this the other night, but I'd like to read a little further in Romans chapter 8 in this direction for the Christian's life, in the way he should live, in the way he can live. Amidst the temptations, the areas of life that we live in. I'd like to read from verses 1 to verse 10. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The language Apostle Paul has here in Romans is very, very clear of who we are, or what we are, and what we can be to be in Christ. But the word I'd like to pull out of this passage here, and we see this two sides of humanity. We have the spiritual mind, we have the carnal mind. And we have in another scripture there that it talks about that there's a battle between those two. It's a battle between the carnality of man and the spiritual man. And that's a battle that is continually raging and continually that we need to crucify daily. But as we think of this carnal mind, it says here, So where is it now? The carnal mind, because verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what is carnality? What is carnal? What does the word carnal mean? Well, the word carnal means lascivious. What's that mean? Well, let's go back to Mark chapter 7 and see what God says about lascivious. Or what Jesus says. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceeds what? Evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from without and defile the man. So where does God place carnality? It's evil. It's worldly. It's of worldly lust. That's carnality. The title of my message this evening is The Casual Crisis. The Casual Crisis. Let's bow for prayer. Holy Father, we come to Thee this morning, this evening. We thank You, Lord, again for this opportunity to be able to worship. God, we pray, Lord, as we look into this subject of the casual crisis. God, help us, Lord, as we share this evening, that we share what You want us to share. And O God, we pray, Lord, that the ears would be open to hear what you want them to hear. And O God, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in among us again tonight. That, Lord, as we look at the day and age that we live, as we look at your time is short, that, Lord, that we understand the devil is very busy and he wants us to be laxed and wants to fall us, help, and wants us to fall into apathy and apostasy. No, God, help us, Lord, as we look into this in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. The casual crisis. Why do I say it's a crisis? Well, let's first of all, what is casual? What does casual mean? Why do we say it's a crisis? Casual means it's happening by chance. Just happens. By chance, it just happens. It's either unplanned, or it's spontaneous, or it's informal, or it's just plain down carelessness. That's what the word casual means. Casual is also that the scriptural obedience is cultural, unfashioned, old-fashioned. Scriptural obedience is cultural and old-fashioned. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was sitting up there on the mountain and speaking to his disciples. And yet we look at Romans chapter 8. And as we see God's, Apostle Paul's plain language in what he is saying about carnality, that it's not old-fashioned. It's not cultural. It's simple scriptural speaking. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and we're not going to take the Beatitudes, we're just going to take in the middle of it here. In verse 13, as Jesus said to the multitude, and disciples were there, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world." Light of the world. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is plain too. Jesus talks very straightforward in this Sermon on the Mount. Ye are the salt of the earth. He told this multitude. And he's teaching to us this evening that ye are the salt of the earth. What is salt? Why do we use salt? What is salt for? Salt is to preserve. Salt is to make things taste better. Salt melts. Salt has a lot of good in it. So how are we to be the salt of the earth? Because he said, if you have lost your savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So therefore, we're cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Salt. Young people this evening, if we're not of salt of the earth, we're casual. simple words. Are we the salt of the earth? Are we a savior to the world and make it tasty what really the Christian life is all about? Or we have lost our saltiness. Well, he goes on, he talks about the light. How can we hide a light? We are God's chosen people. We are supposed to be God's people, but where's our light? I think too many times we're trying to hide it under a bushel. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. What you're here to do. But far too many times we're trying to push out the light in a casual crisis. What about the law? Jesus goes right on in the same passage here. He says, I've not come to destroy the law. What's the law? What's he talking about in the law? I know what the multitude were thinking about. The multitude were thinking about way back there in the Old Testament. That law. That was hard to fulfill. They could hardly do it. And God seen they weren't doing it. That's why he sent Jesus. The law. What did God say? Jesus says, he says, I didn't do away with the law. He says, I didn't throw it out. He says, I fulfilled it. The law meant a respect for God. We go back to the Old Testament. You go back to where God abode in the Old Testament. Where did he abode? In the tabernacle. Where at in the tabernacle? Behind the veil. Where at in the veil? In the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God abode. No man could go in there without blood. No man could touch there. Nobody could enter in there. We know the story how the oxen was coming, the ark was coming across the bumpy road, and a man tried to hold it and tried to steady it. Died just like that. Respect for God. It's not casual. It's a high respect for a holy God. It was the Ark of the Covenant. He had a respect for the holy day. Was the law. The law was respect for the holy day. You couldn't pick up a stick on the holy day. Or you'd be stoned. What if, young people, we'd be living in the Old Testament today? I'm sorry, I wouldn't be here, I'm afraid. We lay in a day of mercy. But all I'm trying to get across is that God, Jesus says, I didn't throw the law out. There is still seriousness. There is still direction. There's not this casual atmosphere, this careless attitude of worship of God. The worship and respect of His holy day. What about the respect for authority? That was in the law. They respected Moses for who he was. And we know what happened to Dathan and Abiram, and that group of people that disrespected God, disrespected Moses. Moses says, "Let me talk to God. Meet me at the door of the tabernacle." And God says, "Stand back, Moses, and I'll destroy them." It's a law. He had a respect for each other. Was a law. Each part of the children of Israel had their responsibility as they moved on their camp. And they respected each other for who they were. Jesus says here, I have not destroyed the law, but I have fulfilled it. What did he do? I want to read you a little statement I got. I gathered up. It says, to fill up the defects of it. and so to complete and perfect it. If we consider the law as a vessel, like this vessel right here sitting in front of me, that had some water in it before. He did not come and pour out the water, but he filled the vessel to the brim. Or as a pitcher that is rough drawn, displays some outlines only of a piece intended, which are afterwards filled up. So Christ made the improvements of the law and the prophets and his additions. That's what Jesus did. He didn't throw it out. He didn't empty it out and put all new in there. He fulfilled it. Verse 20. He says here to the multitude, he says, "For I say unto you that except you, your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God." What was the Pharisees? What was he trying to get across? He was trying to put content inside of form. You get that? He was trying to say that you can't go on the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You can look right. You can be in a church service. You can be of the prescribed thing to do with the church. But if there's no content in there, you're just as bad as the Pharisees and you won't enter into the kingdom of God. He's saying it's beyond just the written law, but to the spirit of the law. It's beyond that. It's the written law. But it's beyond just the written law. It's to the spirit of the law. I'll give you a little illustration. I'm not sure how many of you are deer hunters around here, but we are at home. And we were out deer hunting. We were chasing out a little patch of woods behind the house. And outrun two buck. And we started shooting at them. And my son was over on another section of the hill, and me and another son was over on the other hill, and we were shooting away too at both of these bucks, and I missed the one, but my youngest son, I'm not the youngest son, but the next to the youngest son, got the other one. Until they got to the woods, and they seen that buck, I heard them holler like a hoop like I never heard before, and it was a big one. It was one of the trophies of the whole family. We pulled it out to the road, and about that time the game wardens come. What did they come for? And they come and they examined this thing and they examined the deer and said, "Good job," and then they started to examine us. And there was about eight of us sitting around there that were in that drive and that bunch, and they examined all our license. And there was only about two or three of them that had their hunting license signed. It happened to be that it was my third youngest son that was hunting with us. He had his signed. And the game warden went on and said about the law, what the law meant. And the law meant that if you didn't have that license signed, he says, "I have the right." If that son wouldn't have had that license right, and I asked him that, I said, if he wouldn't have had that license signed, he says, "You had the right to take that deer, right?" He says, "I have the right to take that deer. And you would have took it." Well, he says, "The law says that I can." But he said the spirit of the law was that I would have taught him to sign his license. He says, "I couldn't have took that deer from that young man, that young boy, of such a trophy." But he said the law meant that he could have took it away. But the heart behind the game warden, even though he had authority, and that's what Jesus is trying to tell us, that the law is here. He wants a spirit in the law, along with the law. We're not throwing away the law, putting the spirit in the law. I must move on. Getting kind of wrapped up in the introduction. What is crisis? We're looking at the casual crisis. What is a crisis? A crisis is a dangerous and worrying time. A situation or period in which things are very uncertain, difficult, or painful especially a time when action must be taken to avoid complete disaster or breakdown. Brothers and sisters, my heart cries, I think we're in that age. We're in a crisis. That it's either going to break and break down and destroy and lose it. A critical moment. It's a time when something very important for the future happens and is decided. Why the crisis? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Apostle Paul was sharing this with young Bishop Timothy. He says, the time will come. Brothers and sisters, I think that time is here. That time was probably with Timothy also. But that time is here. When they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not understand that scriptural obedience is present. It's important. And they're going to go after their own lust and heap to themselves teachers with listening ears. Turn me back to Matthew chapter 22. I'd like to look at some Jesus' teachings again. Some warnings of this casual lifestyle. How can we avoid the casual crisis? How can we war against it? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Plain language again. How are we going to avoid the casual crisis? Is how much we love God. How much our heart is with God. How much our soul is with God. How much our mind is with God. Is we're going to avoid the casual crisis that is for us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. We're going to look at a couple of the parables of Jesus as he teaches his disciples and teaches his people to avoid casualty. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that are bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought me a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedgeways, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Casual. Well, I bought a piece of land. I know there's supper. I know the supper is ready. I know the great supper is ready. I know the Lord has made me a supper. The Master has made me a supper. But I bought a piece of land, and I need to go prove it. What was first? Was the supper first, or was the piece of land first? The casual crisis. I bought oxen. I married a wife. Jesus says, unless you forsake father and mother, brother and sister, wife and child, you cannot be my disciple. It's serious. It's not casual. Let's go to another proverb. Matthew chapter 22. How much I should read. Read tonight. These parables are just loaded with Jesus' warning on casualty, on casual. As you see here, the kingdom of heaven was like unto a king which made a marriage for his son. Who is the son? It's Jesus. His only son. He's making a wedding for that. It's a marriage for the supper, and he sent forth his servants to call them. Told them that were bidden to the wedding, and they went out and came. Again he sent forth another servant, saying, Tell them that are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And they all came. Let's just skip over to verse 11. And he says, And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in thither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I want to ask you a question, young people. Each one of you is maybe looking for a marriage. And you're going to bring your bride. You boys are going to bring your bride into the wedding altar. And you're going to meet downstairs. And you're going to meet with the ministry down there. And Brother Joe's the bishop down there. And Brother Joe is busy out at work. He's busy out there in his shop. And Brother Joe would come to the wedding with his work clothes on. He's dirty, he's dusty, he's everything, and you're ready for a wedding. And Joe's supposed to marry you? What would you think? I don't think you'd like it. But we got a great wedding ready for us. And we think we can come and worship this son and be the bride of this son and act casual. It ain't going to work. And have a casual mind. And have a casual heart. And have a casual soul. It ain't going to work. As Jesus says here, he says, I'm going to bind you and cast you out into outer darkness. It's serious. It's not casual. Let's go to another parable. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. This is the parable of the sower. And I'm not going to take the time to read it. But we know the story here. How the sower went forth and he was spreading the seeds. And as the gospel goes forth, as that seed is a gospel, and that gospel is being sent forth, and that gospel is sending forth over and over these last 3 weeks and the last couple weeks, and it's going to go on in the next week. And we're going to find out how much penetrated on Thursday. If we have been going through Bible school with a casual attitude, with a hard heart, and we have a hard heart, and the gospel is throwing out, and the seed's throwing out onto the hard way, and that the birds are snatching up and going away, and we wonder why we have a hard time with the test. Is it because we've acted casual? We didn't really get down into it and really understand it and really have the fertile ground tilled and our land busted up so that them seeds can drop in and plant and send into life. Or maybe we have all kinds of thoughts and we have all these things going around our mind of this land that is full of thistles. And the thistles are choking out the seeds that are falling into our lives. If you're going to go home from this Bible school blessed because of the Word, you're going to have to get to work. You're going to have to bust up that soil. You're going to have to pull out those stony weeds. You're going to have to throw them out. You're going to have to till it up. And that takes work. The rocks are taking up the moisture. It's not penetrating. Or is your heart tilled? Have you spent time in prayer? Have you spent time with God? Have you spent time in the Word of God? Have you been throwing out some things that need to go so that I can concentrate? Or do I have a casual attitude towards the Word of God? John chapter 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For with me ye can do nothing. With me ye can do nothing. Peter had to find that out. As Peter was there, after the resurrection of Jesus, and I shared this a little bit the other night, and Jesus came and showed himself and told Thomas, he says, believest thou me? And he told Thomas, you take your finger and pierce it into my side, Jesus. And he goes on to say, believest thou me? Blessed is them that don't see but believe. And then he goes on in chapter 21, and it's Jesus left, and Peter says, I go a fishing. And Peter went fishing. And he didn't catch nothing. He toiled all night. He didn't catch nothing because he was casual. Peter had to go through some hard knocks. Jesus had to teach him some more. And that's when he comes there and says, come and dine. But after they caught all the fish, for without me ye can do nothing. Without me ye can do nothing. He had to teach Peter that. And he asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What are some practical areas as we think of casual? My mind first of all goes, and you're studying, some of you are studying church history, and I'm sure you're looking back into the Anabaptists. I enjoy studying Anabaptist history. As I study Anabaptist history, there was no casual tint in the Anabaptist life. The scripture is plain and needs no interpretation. It's simple. I read many of scriptures in the Bible, in the scriptures here, where it says plainly that it's a serious walk of life. It's not a casual atmosphere if we're going to make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church life was a must and visible and also evangelical. They didn't brood over grievous, heavy persecution. They didn't grieve over that. Sometimes we grieve at our own church standards. And they had heavy persecution and they didn't grieve. They understood the two kingdoms. The children of the world hated the children of light. It was a life of dark. It was a life of discipleship. Separation was central in their lives. Worldly fashions and patterns didn't exist in the Anabaptists, the casual crisis. We fish where our heart is. Where is your heart tonight? Where's your heart? Peter's heart was fishing. Peter's heart was out there in the boat, fishing. And Jesus had to direct that heart somewhere else when he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What entices your taste? What entices your taste? It's your answer, your question to answer. What is your attitude towards our worship or your worship? Jesus said unto him in John chapter 14, verse 6, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, twofold. Truth, and we cannot separate the two. Jesus says you cannot separate the two. There must be form in truth. There must be content. We can't separate them. When we begin to separate them, we're casual. Either side of the fence. We can have our long robes on, as he says in Mark chapter 12, verse 38, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go around in long clothing, and love saluting in the marketplaces." We can have our long clothing on, and we can dress to the church's prescribe. But if there's no spirit and there's no heart there, we're casual. Simple words. Or we can dress like the world and think we have the Spirit of God in us, and we're still casual. It's spirit and in truth. They're both together. You can't separate them, and God's not going to separate them when it comes to the judgment bar. He's going to put them both together. What is spirit? Spirit is unseen. Spirit is life. Spirit is the motivator. Spirit is the controller. Where he says, "I come and give you the Holy Spirit and might guide you into all truth." That's what the Spirit is. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's the spirit of the world. They're both controllers. And what's controlling you in the casual crisis? Casual crisis is that it is easy to miss worship. How do you look at worship? And I see there you can play volleyball just as good as ever. Brother John says, "I wonder if they're going to be as alert tonight in worship experience as they are alert at watching that ball." But where is your heart? Is it easier to go to a volleyball game than to go to prayer meeting? Is it easier to miss a revival meeting, revival night, because the neighbor church is having a volleyball game? Where's your heart? Is it casual? Is it, "Well, it'll just happen"? Yeah, it will just happen. But my Bible says it's serious. Who's first? Whom do I worship? Lovest thou me more than these? That's what Peter's telling us. I mean, that's what Jesus is telling us. He asked Peter that. Lovest thou me more than these? More than volleyball? More than my friends? More than my girlfriend? My boyfriend? Lovest thou me? What about our language? Is that casual? I think too many times it's way too casual. We're God's people. We don't adopt the world's type of language. What about kids? Somebody has said they wondered how their kids are. We said, I sent them to the market. Or I sent them to the butcher shop yesterday. That's not kids. Our children are not kids. They're a gift from God. But far too many times we begin to get careless and begin to adopt the world's language. Guys, girls, gals. Cool. You listen, it's air. You know what they are. How casual are we? Or are we God's chosen people? We speak God's language. We don't speak the world's language. What about our body language? Ooh. Sometimes the girls wonder why the boys have a corrupt mind. Is it because of your language? Because you haven't handled yourself modestly. Boys the same way. How do we handle our body language? Positions, photos, the list goes on and on. Suggestive. It's language, it's casual. The Christian life, a godly person is serious. What about our attire? Probably figured I'd get there. There's three principles in attire. There probably could be more, but I'm going to look at three of them. One is self-denial. Self-denial will express itself in attire. It don't matter which side of the fence you are on the attire. Remember I said, content needs to be inside the form. Both sides of the fence. The form of the world or the form of the church. Content needs to be, it will express itself. Second principle is separation. Separation will express itself in our attire. It's distinctive. I'm looking at this side of the house more than I probably look at this side of the house. As we as brethren can pretty well hide our identity pretty easy. And shame on us. Shame on us, and we look like the world, and yet you want to have a girlfriend that looks godly and modest, and we stand beside her and look like just like somebody come off the street. It's a distinction of separation. And the third principle is that its modesty and shamefacedness will express itself in attire. It's modesty. It's not, can be church prescribed. But there still can be a church prescribed that can be immodest and lack of shamefacedness. Church prescribed needs to be modest. What kingdom are you depicting? As you pick and you go to Walmart, you go to Kohl's, you go to whatever other clothing store that you find, the material store, the pattern store, the patterns that you see flashing around. What kingdom do you depict? What kingdom do you want to look like? The world says, so what? Just wear whatever I can buy. Casual attire shows a casual approach in worship of God. Casual attire shows a casual approach to a worship of God. You see someone that's casually dressed, I can pretty well tell you how close he is with God. It is distinctive. Why casual? Why do we want to wear casual clothes? Well, maybe. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe. We think it is. It's more appetite. It's more wishes for the world's ways. It's more of a relaxed feeling. And we become relaxed in our spiritual life. The casual crisis. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Again I read. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's not casual. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says it's serious business on how we're going to handle our lives. True Christianity is responsive to the teachings of the Scriptures. Did God's Word tell you that's the clothes you're supposed to wear? Did God tell you in His Scriptures that that's the pattern you're supposed to make your dresses like? Or did you do it? Have you sought the Lord about it? Have you examined yourself over it? John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5 says that we are to, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Ye must abide in me. The branches abiding to the vine is connected to the vine. It's connected and it's bringing fruit, bringing not fruit, but sap from the vine to feed the branches, and we're to carry the fruit that is produced, and we're to be the branches, and yet we don't bear fruit. What does Jesus say? Jesus said, if you don't bear fruit, he said, I'm going to cut you off and throw you out and be burned. Do we abide? Do we stay? Do we dwell with God in this casual attitude? We go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Back to where we began. In the plain language that Apostle Paul says again, for they that are after the flesh, what's flesh? Self, attitude, desires, ambitions, the list goes on. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're going to try to please God by our own bootstraps, by our own way of living. We're not going to make it. It's not going to work. Why, again I asked, why the casual crisis? Why? Apostle Paul says to Timothy, says, because someday there's going to be a falling away. And brothers and sisters, I think we're in those days, and that's why it's so crisis. Because I see if this thing keeps moving on and we keep deteriorating, we keep adopting the things of the world, we're going to die. Therefore, if we're going to die, it's sin. To be carnally minded is sin. It's serious business. Where are you tonight? I'd like to give an invitation tonight. There's someone here that is struggling with casualty. There's someone here that's not loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind and strength. They have become casual, and they have begun to waste away, and they began to shrivel up. And they can't move on. They're going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Tonight's the night to make it right and get serious with God. What shall the hymn be?